I want to welcome you to Dream Chasers Radio with me, your host, Yaga Diamond. What's up, peoples? How you doing? It is a great day, and I'm so very excited to be here. Man, I'm telling you, authors, what can I say? This is the author edition, and we have an amazing author on the show for you today. I mean, I'm just going to say that she is an amazing person, and she's gone through an amazing journey, and I just wanted to have her on the show to showcase this. This is amazing. Miss Marley Wedgeworth is here with us today. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Yaya.
Thank you, thank you. You were born in Germany, right?
Yes, correct. Awesome. I was born in Berlin.
Tell me about yourself.
All right. Well, I answered your first question. Would you like me to read that to you?
Well, definitely.
Or would you like me? Okay. You wrote, can you share with us what inspired you to write your memoir?
That's particularly right.
Particularly focusing on your experiences during the post-war period. And I answered, my memoirs have been on my mind for years. Every time I would tell my story, my friends and the people in the book club would urge me to write everything down before we, the older generation, leave this earth.
Mm-hmm.
You asked me to dwell on my experiences after the war in particular. These were very hard times facing us all.
Yeah.
We froze, we hungered, we tried to survive.
Wow.
It was hard on my grandmother, who had suffered through two world wars, and she became very angry and bitter.
Mm.
I missed a family life of having siblings with loving and caring parents.
Wow.
I think that was the hardest part for me,
wow,
to deal with my incredibly vicious stepmother.
You know, I have to ask you this. You know, I know that this is your memoir, and I know that this is post-war period. You know what I mean? What
yeah.
was it like for you as a child to, you know, come from one place to the other? What was that like for you?
Well, the change was tremendous. In 1940, when Hitler declared war on Poland, he also told the German people we were on rations, number one, and all the good things disappeared. I remember that we used to have yogurt standing in front of the front door, one bottle of yogurt, and then a bag of fresh rolls hung on the doorknob, and I can't remember what else was there. But bananas were gone. Citrus fruits were gone. We had a housekeeper because my parents were divorced and I lived with my father, and we had a housekeeper who became my second mother. And she took very good care of me, but she was having problems cooking up things. And there was a tension in the air. You just felt like things weren't normal anymore. There were rations on clothing, and Hitler declared that it was more important to have bombs than food on the table.
You know, everyone suffered at that moment in time, and I'm so happy that you wrote this memoir, because it does bring to light not only the suffering of the Jews, but also the suffering of the German people. You know, like you said, there was very hard times for everyone, you know, the rations and everything. You know, what kind of a glimpse can you give on this pivotal period of history? I mean, and what do you hope for your readers to take away from your memoir?
Well, I wrote about that, too. It is amazing how resilient people are in times of trouble, but I hope people realize how important freedom of speech is to everyone, that people keep their rights to voice their opinions, and that the government and the Supreme Court listen to people's needs. We have to nurture what little democracy is left and realize how well off we are. Too many people are dissatisfied and complain about their lives, when in general we mostly should be thankful to have a roof over our heads, enough to eat, stay warm, and should be more grateful. There are people with little money, and it would be nice if they would have better chances. Yeah. Well, I feel that you were limited in your, you didn't dare open your mouth. You were very scared. And I remember my grandmother always in the presence of my family, we would get together, you know, for afternoon coffees where they served cake or cookies. And she would rant and rave about this horrible Hitler, and that he would ruin our country and he would ruin all of us, because she had gone through two world wars. Mm. And my father would reprimand her and tell her to be quiet, because he said, we either will get shot or we will end up in concentration camp. Mm. You just didn't open your mouth. And in the end of the war, any of the children that didn't want to fight, they were hung. They were shot. Old people had to, old men were called to the front. They called it the front, you know, to fight. And they also took 12-year-olds. And in Bavaria alone, I came past a place where they had plaques for four boys that wanted to desert and didn't want to fight. They were done, you know, people were done. They knew the war was over. But the Nazis and the SS and Hitler, they just kept going. And they hung those four boys.
Oh.
That was just, that in my book, for instance, my father was summoned as an attorney to serve in Warsaw to negotiate between the Polish people and the Germans who were occupying the country. And also the Russians had part of the country. There was under the agreement that the Russians would take part of Poland and the Germans would take part of Poland, until Hitler lost his mind and invaded Russia. And the tide turned, and that was our downfall. And I don't know if you read history about how horrible the war was for the Germans and Russia. They were trying to conquer Russia, but you can't conquer Russia, especially not in the winter, you know. And so the people, the soldiers froze to death and whatever. But my father said later on that Hitler killed our intelligenza. And he also, from what I heard from an uncle of mine, that he saved some Jewish people. And we had my father employed Polish people in his office. And we had a wonderful, a very sweet man who took care of the books. He was, he took care of the money and the books, and I forgot the name now, what you call him. But anyway, we got a phone. I remember that as a child, there was a big commotion in the office, and my father found out that this man on his way to the office was picked up by the SS. There was apparently, there must have been somebody, probably an officer, German officer, murdered by the underground, and then they would take 20 Polish people right off the street on the way to work, put them against the wall of a house, and shoot them.
No. Oh my gosh.
And my father tried to save this man, and I still remember this man. My memory goes way back, and I remember him. He was always so sweet and so kind, and he had three children, and I just loved all those people, you know?
Yeah, that's
so
terrible.
That was just, it was horrible. It was horrible, and I remember we drove past the ghetto one time where the Jewish people were. Of course, I didn't have an idea, and they didn't tell me, but they said that was the ghetto. Mm-hmm. And they did talk about the Jewish people. I remember that. Mm. So, well, I wrote it all down in my book.
My gosh. This, you know, and I like the way that you have, you know, given it a personal feel, because this is a historical event, obviously. I mean, it went down in history, but your version of it is totally different. What is the difference between your version and the historical version? What does yours offer that history doesn't really point on?
I think it has a personal touch. It's that, you know, you asked me in number three, the World War period is often portrayed through a historical lens. And I wrote back, I experienced these moments myself.
Right.
I'm a living Zeitzeuge, witness of the times. I'm gifted with an excellent memory. I am gifted. I'm very lucky. I can think back when I was 2 years old. Mm. I remember things when I was 2 years old. My parents divorced when I was three. And I remember living in that little house, and my mother wanted to be back in the ritzy surrounding of Berlin. She liked the nightlife, and she didn't like to live in the country. Mm. So, and then one day she was gone. It was a very severe shock for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a very severe shock for me. I wrote it down in the book. Mm. So, yeah.
You know, your memoir likely is a considerable amount of reflection and introspection. Can you discuss your process of writing and how you've navigated the emotional terrain of revisiting such challenging times in your life?
I wrote down what I remembered, mm-hmm. and my feelings and the feelings of my relatives and my daily life. I wrote that down. And then how my stepmother came into my life, who was a great believer of Hitler, including my aunt, who was married to my father's brother. And she was in the Olympics in 1936. She was in the Olympics in March, you know, as a girl. And I guess they were able to shake Hitler's hand. Mm. And she told me she didn't wash her hand for a week.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so, well, I don't know if you have you ever experienced that man, the way he talked,
no.
and the way he yelled and shouted. Oh, well, no. Anybody who looked different and anybody who had a different point of view, and everybody who was a gypsy or, you know, even as a priest, mm-hmm. the priests were incarcerated.
Yeah.
And yeah, but anybody who was against Hitler, you didn't open your mouth.
Yeah, no.
You didn't dare.
I know.
And you didn't dare after you lived in the eastern part under the Russians. It was the same system. A lot of people will not talk about it. Well, I read a book about a German a black woman who I just read that recently, and I only read 15 pages and I had to give it back. I couldn't read it.
Mm.
She said in her title, it's in German, my grandfather would have shot me. Her grandfather was the big shot in one of the concentration camps.
Wow.
And he would step out on the balcony and shoot people at random.
Mm.
And that was his joy in the morning.
Oh my gosh.
And he had children. I don't know how many children, but the lady who wrote the book, is very tall. She's over 6 feet. She's married and has two children. She's married to a German. She is German herself. Her mother had her with a man who came from Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And that was after the war. And she took that baby girl, you wouldn't believe it. She took that baby girl to the nuns and left her.
Mm.
And that woman wrote this book about her grandfather, that he would have shot her because the mother never returned and she never met her mother again.
Mm.
And the nuns had to raise her.
Yeah.
And she is happily married with two children. And she wrote this German book that her grandfather would have shot her.
Yeah, it is. It definitely is. I mean, we're human beings. We love, and love doesn't have a color. It doesn't have a race. It doesn't.
No,
it
no.
Just loves.
And you know, we all in our own way are brilliant people.
Yes.
You know, I wrote about that too. I wrote in the book, and you, well, you in number four, you wrote in recounting your experience. Mm-hmm. Were there any particular moments or anecdotes that stood out to you
right.
as especially poignant or significant? If so, could you share them with our listeners? And I wrote, my grandmother's outburst about, quote, man, that man Hitler. The over that those were my moments of anecdotes. The overtaking and entrance of the American army when they came to Thuringia, and my first impression on the tank was an Afro-American soldier. Mm. And I was just a little tight, and the door was binging. It went bing, 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 and it was slamming and opening and slamming and opening from the pressure, you know, bombs. And the tanks were coming down these narrow streets, and there was a can with food in the middle of the street, and I was going to snatch it. And I looked up and I saw this kind face. I'll never forget that. I could cry. And I and the tank went by, and the next tank ran over that little can, and then I ran out and snatched it. But that was my first impression on the Americans.
Wow.
That was such a beautiful, that man smiled at me as a child when the most of the Germans were grumpy and grouchy and stuck up and God knows what.
Yeah.
And that little bit of kindness and that happy smile, that just has stuck with me all my life.
Wow.
So anyway, then I wrote, and my girls' school scout days and my travels to Britain, there are many more. But it was the entrance of the American army when they came to Thuringia. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow. Well, this book is amazing. It's just, it's filled with all kinds of different things, and love and sacrifice and resilience and just ups and downs.
Well, I really found acceptance and love and caring over here in this country. I didn't have that. When we, if we talk to each other among German women, we always find, I have a very good friend who's about my age. She's a little younger. And she said, you know, kids weren't wanted. They were, you know, like I wrote in my book, you were only allowed to talk when you were talked to. When adults were talking to each other, yeah. You weren't allowed to speak up.
Yeah, same here. Same here.
Oh, the same thing. Yeah, there wasn't any kindness. You know, kids weren't kids.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was miserable.
Yeah.
So, and then you, on number five, you wrote, your memoirs likely require a considerable amount of reflection and introspection. Mm-hmm. Can you discuss your process for writing and how you navigated the emotional terrain of revisiting such challenging times in your life?
Yes.
Okay, I wrote, since I had this book in my head for years, as I have others, I took writing classes in college, which were of great satisfaction to me. I sat down and documented the years as precisely as I could. I researched everything and also used other people's quotes to emphasize the events. To this date, if I ever hear Hitler screeching and emphasizing words, I get goosebumps. Mm. I never could understand how people would accept a man of such low standards who was lazy and uneducated but had a big mouth.
Wow.
People are like sheep. They run after anything that might be of benefit to them, without realizing the circumstances.
Yeah.
It agitated me when I learned in history how our Jewish landsmen, now my son asked me what landsmen mean. It means our Jewish citizens. It's an old saying, a landsman. Were tortured over centuries. How ill and degrading they were treated under the reign of maniacs. I'm not only speaking for our Jewish citizens, but also for the gypsies and others. See if it goes on.
Wow. Wow. My goodness. And as a writer that you've lived through such remarkable times, you know, what is it that you want to say to the future generations through your memoir?
Okay, I'm going to tell you that. As a writer who has lived through such remarkable times, like you just said, what message or insight do you hope to impart to future generations through your memoir? Now hold on to your chair. Beware of tyrants who dress in sheep's clothing.
Mm.
Beware of people who will promise you the moon, but in the end only profit from it themselves. People who rant and rave and threaten. Beware! Exclamation mark. What happened to our landsmen, the Jewish believing people, must never happen again. It happened to our indigenous brothers and sisters over here, our native Indians and our slaves who did not want to be brought over and exploited. It happened to other nations over the centuries. Take the Armenians and so on and so on. But look, nothing changes. The wars go on and the torture and the starvation never end. I had a mission and a purpose for writing my book so people wake up and realize what we have done and still are doing to people on this earth.
Mm-hmm.
War never ends. Wars never end and the cruelty increases. Humanity has learned nothing. All of what is being preached in Bibles, Korans, whatsoever, are just empty words. We trample on the meek and call ourselves, in quotes, superior. Indigenous people have had to suffer in our country and all over the world, and often are being mistreated and misjudged. If humans do not study history and do not read books, if we keep our children ignorant and do not teach them kindness towards others and nature, then what is there to expect? It starts at home, in school, and throughout life.
Yes. My goodness, you are so right. We have yet to learn the lesson. We have yet to learn the lesson.
Yeah, and it starts at home. You know, kindness starts at home.
Yes.
Look how many parents... you know, abuse their children and emotionally and physically. And you know, you wonder when a baby is born, it's just the most precious moment when you hold that little thing in your arms. And, you know, and I just don't understand how people can do that.
Yeah, I know. Me either.
Me either. So that's basically how I feel. And, you know, I'm a very open person. I'm a very kind person. I am a very understanding person. And so that's basically what has become of me.
Wow. Well, I want to thank you, Marley, for being on the show. I truly appreciate you and your time and also your story. My lost childhood, a Peruvian family under the Hitler
regime. Oppression. Oppression family.
Oppression, okay.
Oppression family
under the Hitler regime.
Yeah. Okay, well, I hope you read it. It's not very long. Yeah, yeah, and it's so nice to talk to you. And I hope I didn't talk your ears off.
No, ma'am. I'm still here. Ears are still connected.
Okay, all right. Well, you have a wonderful evening.
You too. Thank you so much for being on the show. We're going to have that link in the description box, so it'll be easy for you guys to go ahead and get that for yourselves and check that out for yourselves. You know, history will repeat itself over and over again until we wise up and learn our mistakes are not to be made again. They're actually to be, you know, maybe tallied and said, okay, let's not do that again. Let's go a different way, because, you know, in the end, and I feel totally like this, being of a mixed race and being just totally messed up, that, you know, in this body that I dwell in, we all live in harmony.
That I think is the most important thing. And it's so, you know, it's so unimportant what you look like. And as long as you are a kind person, I think that's important. Definitely. That a kind person, that you share love among each other.
Definitely, definitely. And if my mind can wrap around all the things that have happened in time to get me to this place, I understand one thing, that I love me. And you should love everyone else around you as well. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Don't forget to dare to be different. And we're going to have that link again in the description box below. Until next time,
okay,
guys.
Okay.
Good night.
All right.
Good night, Marlene.
Good night.
Thank
Take
you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
I dare to be different. I dare to be different. I dare.